Well, as you know, we were supposed to start on chapter 6 in Revelation today, and I've actually had a couple of days off, and I spent a lot of time studying, and I am no closer to knowing anything than I was when I started, so I'm having a little rough time. Well, one of the problems I was having in understanding Revelation, and I'm sure y'all have all got it figured out, if you could send me a note, that would help. One of the things that I've had a hard time with is just the timeline. I do know that Revelation does not go chronologically. We don't say, okay, chapter 5, you're here, and so the seals are undone, and then the bowls are poured out, and then later the trumpets are announced. That's not how that goes. It's all kind of consecutive. Okay, but in saying that, you kind of got to get a timeline of. We talked about all the different theories of the preterists and the futurists and all that type of stuff. But there's something else here, and this has kind of been the elephant in the room for me. And that is there a tribulation? I believe there is a tribulation. Is there a rapture of the church? I mean, y'all have heard of that, right? You know, Left Behind series, you've heard about the rapture of the church is going to be taken out, and you'll be sitting beside somebody, and you're just hoping that that if you're not a Christian, that the airline pilot is not a Christian also, because otherwise he gets taken out and the plane goes down. You know what I'm talking about? Because that's what it shows. I've never read any of the books, and I've never watched any of the, I guess they've got movies out or something, don't they? I don't know.
What's his name?
I've never watched any of those movies, so I don't really know, but I kind of know the understanding is that, poof, you know, my suit and tie will be here, and if you see my suit and tie and I'm gone, you're like, uh-oh. You know, I wasn't one of the ones that were called away. So, with that being said, is there a rapture? Whether it's, unfortunately the people on the podcast are going to miss all my slides, but is there a pre-tribulation rapture before, right here when the seals are starting to be opened up? That's the reason I had this little problem. Is this is the beginning of the tribulation, I think. But I also believe that we've had tribulation since the time that Pentecost came. The church has been under tribulation, and that's what John speaks to when he's talking to the seven churches. But I think this is another ramping up, and then you'll see another ramping up. You remember when we were in Daniel, and we talked about the 69 weeks of Daniel, and then there was a pause in that time, in that timeline. And that pause in that timeline was the church age. And that, so you're still in the 70 weeks of Daniel, which he talks about. And so you've got 69 weeks. Hey, Lisa, you may want to sit down, sweetie. They may want to. Anyway, so we got 69 weeks of Daniel. Well, there's a pause in there, and that pause is the church age. And then you've got the 70th week of Daniel. And that 70th week of Daniel is the time of tribulation. So a lot of people, LaHaye is one of those who has written the books and stuff, they believe that the church will never go through tribulation. We will be taken out of the world before the tribulation happens, so God protects his people, and if you're part of the elect, you'll be taken away before the tribulation ever happens, and so you don't need to worry about it. That's the pre-tribulation. Does anybody have any ideas? I know one person does, but we're gonna save him till last. Do y'all have any ideas of what you believe? Do you believe in pre-trib, mid-trib? Some people call that pre-wrath. And then post-tribulation. Go ahead, Liz.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say that I never detailed on any of this because I think God, what's going to happen will happen, and I'm trying to do what God tells me to do despite when all this is going to happen.
So you're focused on this. So you're a pan-trib. Pan-trib just means it's all going to pan out. And when you see that in any of the literature that I have gone, people go absolutely ballistic. If they're pre-trib or post-trib or whatever, they just go they go absolutely ballistic when you say pan-trib. Oh, it'll all just pan out. Take care of it.
It is a
delightful
pan-trib.
It's a joke. But yeah. It is. and they equate that to sloth and laziness and not reading the Word of God or understanding what He's saying to you. So I'm saying I understand anything about this either. I'm trying, but it's not as evident as you might think. And one of the reasons is I would spend several hours listening to nothing but pre-tribulation people who believe in the that the church will be taken out before the tribulation. And they made all kinds of sense. And then I would listen to the mid-trib. So you got a 7-year time period. The mid-trib or the pre-wrath is the time period. Maybe I've got a... Let me see. Go back one more. No, one more. This is what you get a lot of. If you decipher this, you let me know. It goes.
So sure.
Oh yeah, I've got all this. You understand all the symbolism and. I like this one. This was the historicist view that it's already all happened when Jerusalem fell, so that's the historicist. So you don't have to worry about it all. It's all the end is come.
But that's called preterism, right?
I like it. Yes.
Rapture out of the order.
You don't believe in the rapture.
You do or you don't?
I do.
Pre?
No.
Mid or post tribulation?
There are three parts.
I evidently didn't do the other one that I had. I had one other slide, and I need to see it in there. Let's see if this one's got something.
Are you tribulation?
Okay. Just for illustration here, that 70th week of Daniel is the 7 years of tribulation, if give or take some here, where you've got the 3.5 years of the Antichrist coming. And when the seals are opened in chapter 6 and you see a man on a white horse, that begins the beginning of the time of tribulation. Okay? So there's 3.5 years of that where God has taken peace away from the earth, and basically right now Christ has restrained the Antichrist, but at this point he's going to be let loose, and man's going to be against man, basically. And other people believe that man's going to be against the church. So the people that are not churched are going to try to take the church out. And a lot of people are going to die. Well, at 3.5 years is the time when the Antichrist is going to go to the temple. You're going to have the abomination of desolation, when he desolates the temple and the altar. You remember that when we talked about that back in prior Old Testament times?
It's going to be another pig.
Going to be a pig, whatever, on the altar of the newly built. Well, this starts with the Antichrist agreeing on a covenant with Israel that there will be peace. Everybody wants peace. Don't y'all want peace?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all want peace. Everybody wants peace. Well, this guy's going to be able to bring peace and economic prosperity and all the things you're looking for. So it's all good. No problem. Except people are dying left and right. So at 3.5 years, he says, well, guess what? All bets are off. We're going to learn this as we go through here. All bets are off. And there is no God, but I'm God. He desecrates the temple. That's the abomination of desolation. And at that point, all hell breaks loose, so to speak. And so, if you're a mid-trib person, you believe you go through 3.5 years of tribulation, but God pulls you out before the wrath of God comes in, before things really, really get bad. If you're a post-tribulation person, at the very end of this 7 years, Christ comes back, second coming of Christ. Christ says he's going to come back. It's going to be a noise in the heavens. He's going to come in the clouds. With that, he's going to bring the saints. A post-tribulation person, pre-trib would believe, welcome. A pre-trib person would believe that they were taken out in the first rapture. Welcome. A pre-tribulation person thinks that they were taken out in the first rapture and that they are coming back with Christ. They've been up in heaven in their new resurrected bodies, and they will come back with Christ to fight the final battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Christ, right? If you're a post-tribulation person, you have gone, if you've lived, gone all the way through the tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation, if you've lived. If not, then you've gone off with the saints to be in heaven. And you will be raptured or taken up in the air as Christ comes down, you will join his army of believers and come down and fight the devil. Questions, comments? Yes.
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Yeah.
This sounds like I'm begging a question, but does it matter?
That's not your pan with me.
It's not whether it's pan or no pan. And I know intellectually we have these arguments in our head. And is a year really a year? If a week isn't a week, why is a year a year? And people fall out and have family feuds and go to different churches and go.
Then I would beg this question then. Why did God put this in our Bible that it should be his word that we should look to?
And where I was coming with that when I asked it, going back to what Lisa said, if you live the best you can, given what you've understood for all the other books leading up to it, this conceptualizes the conflict of good and evil and man's relationship to Satan and all the other stuff, whether it was in 70 or now. And I want to read it, and I want to me it's kind of like a great big picture. It's not one thing or the other. And it makes my head want to explode.
You should try this for days on end.
That's what I meant by that. It does matter that we wrestle with it and we study to show ourselves approved before God and all of it. But I don't think we're going to get the answer. We're going to find out. You know, we are less likely to live to see it than to experience it after we're not here to tell anybody else.
Well, my thought has always been that, you know, I walk out here in the middle of the street tomorrow and a bus hits me, I'm going to meet Jesus at that point. It's not going to be, Revelation is not going to make that much difference to me personally. Once I die, however, Jesus talks about coming back. Jesus talks about expectation. Jesus talks about you being prepared. And like a thief, when he comes in like a thief in the night, you need to be prepared. You don't need to let this burglar come into your house. You don't need to be deceived. Watch out for false teachers. He's mentioning this over and over and over again because he knows how easily we can be. And so the fact that we can figure all this out, you're right, we can't figure all this out. But he put it here for a reason, and whether that's, I don't think it's a test, but I think it's a way for me, of course all of this has been a way for me to get closer to God. And when we looked at the first chapter of the book of Revelations, it says those that read these words will be blessed. And I believe there's a blessing in this book for us. Is it hard? Oh, yes. Would I much rather, well, let's not go back to Daniel, but would I much rather teach a different book? Yes, I would. But, you know, I was asked to teach this one now, so we're teaching this one now, and we'll move through this the best we can. The other thing is rather than me sitting up here and saying, well, it's obvious, and I've got people who will do that if you'd like to read it. I've got the pre-wrath, the pre-trib, the post-trib, and all of their understandings, all of their scriptures that they use for each one of those, for their beliefs. And I could sit up here and say, well, it's definitely post-trib. I mean, it's just no doubt about it. Y'all got to all believe that. It's pretty much that. But what I'm trying to do is give you three, at least three. There are actually five, but I knocked it down to three. Well, there's a seven trump. I mean, if you want to go there, and there's one more. Anyway, and we didn't even get into the millennial. Whether there really is a thousand-year reign, you don't even want to go. There's three different versions of the millennial, too. So I didn't bring that into it, and hopefully I'm not going to plan on bringing that into it. But I want you to understand, when you hear this out in the world, the whole idea behind this class has been, when you hear something, you don't go, well, that's the first time I've ever heard this. And I've talked to preachers who have never once preached on Revelation. You know why? It's really, really hard. And there are no definitive answers. And they don't want to stand in the pulpit and say, well, it's kind of sort of like this, maybe kind of. So, I mean, take a survey of ministers that you know and see whether they taught on the first three or four chapters, which are the seven churches and your hot or cold Laodicea, and so we will spit you out of our mouth. They're not going to approach this, and I'm not asking them to. But I am asking you to, because you guys aren't like normal sit on your behind churchgoers. You're involved and you want to know about it, and I'm just trying to guide you towards this. Let's look at it.
I'll hold my quick comment.
All right.
First thing is, comparing this what's on today, what's happening with our president now and the president coming in, okay. Compare that to what's been happening in the last years, okay.
I'm not going here. Okay. I'm not saying where we are in this.
Just hear me out.
I'm gonna give you about that long of a string. I'm gonna get to it real quick. Because right. I'm not going there.
I was gonna tell you what I'm saying her too.
Go.
All right. You got Trump up there and he's been with president. All right. On Instagram here a while back.
No, we're not.
Stacey,
we're not going to go there.
I know, but listen to me for a minute. Just hear me for a minute. I will say this.
You better do it quick.
Let me say this. You talk about the Trump standing in Israel. Okay. All the Trump is standing with a couple of Lord. Okay. All right. They've already experienced in Israel. They were his first Trump. They say it's somebody else. They do this. They're talking about the Trump sounding in Israel when it's time for this all happening. It's already been sounding in Israel. Okay, in Bethlehem. I'm not understanding what you're saying. And then they say they heard trumpets in Israel starting to sound now of the coming. That's what I'm saying. It's already started happening.
They've been blowing trumpets in Israel since 1930.
I know it, but.
So when they came back to Israel, they started blowing trumpets. It's called a shofar. We've talked about that. It's a ram's horn. They've been blowing trumpets in Israel. That's not the trumpet we're talking about.
Okay.
These are celestial trumpets that are in heaven. When we're going to talk about the seven trumpets later, those are celestial trumpets in heaven. The bowls being poured out are all symbolic. These seals that are being opened up are all symbolic. But I want you to be able to without getting into all the political things, because we, you know, all down through time, when there was a civil war in this country and the North was against the South, they knew it was the end of the world. It was the end of the world. And it was the end of their world. Brother was fighting against brother. All evil was unleashed. It had to be the devil working within our society. And that was the end of the world. Was it? No, it wasn't. What about when World War II happened? When World War I happened? All of those were the end of the age. Nothing like this had ever been seen before. The horrors of horrors. That's not the tribulation. Or maybe it's the start of a part of it. We've got so much to look at here. And I want to give you a couple of things just of what Jesus... Because I always try to think, what does Jesus say? And Jesus... Turn in your Bibles, if you got them, to Matthew 24. Because I'm not going to be able to give you all this stuff because it's just way too much. I will tell you this. When you get out today, if you think, oh, I'd really like to look at it a little bit more, look at Thessalonians chapter 1 and chapter 2.
Yes.
I mean, First Thessalonians and Second Thessalonians. I feel like I'm doing 2 Corinthians, don't I? First Thessalonians and Second Thessalonians. And then ask yourself, what happened between those two letters? I mean, he kind of answers that. But are we in Matthew 24?
Yes.
Okay. Let's start. What's a good place here, Philip?
Why not start right here in verse 5? Or we can start where you want to.
This lines up with
Revelation 6:1, the deception that's coming on the earth. I don't think Christians realize this term deception and the greatness of this word and what it means to most Christians and non-Christians. I think, see, Christ said right off the bat, don't be deceived.
Right.
Many will come in my name saying they are Christians. So that's the first thing. Now, Paul talks about this.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the falling away of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to keep the eye on us.
Mm-hmm.
We are the sign. The church is the sign of the deception, the sign of the Antichrist. There's going to be a falling away first. Then we're going to have, then the greatest, then the deceiver is coming. He's on a white horse. That tells you right there, he's like Christ. He's not coming and killing people. He's come, but he is the religious system. And he's eventually going to work his way to killing or browbeating the elect. The elect will be. Remember what we read about in, well, it gets in here too, but remember what we read about the church of Smyrna. Tribulation. You will be taken up as a testimony against Satan for the word of God. See, there is going to be, so that's why I don't believe in any kind of rapture. Persecution and tribulation is a fact of being a Christian.
Well, and the Thessalonians, one of the reasons they're asking the questions they're asking of Paul is because they're in tribulation and saying, have we already missed the day of the Lord? They're realizing that they're being beaten and killed, and they can't have jobs. And all. So this looks exactly like the end times to them, and they're like, did we miss it? Has this sign already happened? And then Paul's trying to explain to them what signs to look for. That's in Thessalonians. Let me go to Jesus first, chapter 24. And Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he answered and said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another, which will not be torn down. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, this is called the Olivet Discourse. You've heard that before. If you've been in church very long, this is called the Olivet Discourse. And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? Now, that's a pretty big question. How are we going to know when the end of the age is? How are we going to know when when you're going to come into your kingdom? They expect him to still be there. They're expecting this end of the age to happen, and he's going to lead them. Remember, they're having a private talk. And he would always talk with them more than he would talk to the masses. He would give them private information, you know, a private understanding.
Right.
So he said in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In the various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely a beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. So when that pressure comes, that's the time when the pressure is placed on the church, you're going to find out who's going to say, hey, I went to church. Well, how close to God are you? Are you willing to give up your job, your house, your family, all the things that you hold most dear? Look, I just went on Sundays. I mean, I wasn't like crazy over it or anything. You know, I'm not really going to be persecuted for it. There's going to be a falling away at that point from the people who were truly invested in God and are willing to sacrifice for God, and those who are not. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. And at the time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations. And then the end shall come. Okay. Let's continue on here just a little bit. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. So he's talking about this that Daniel had seen with, I can't remember the, starts with an A.
Antiochus.
Whatever it was. Yeah, whoever he was who desecrated the temple at that time that we studied. This is going to happen again during the 7-year time period. And Jesus is saying, when you see that happen, then you will know. Well, if they see that happen, then the church is still here. You see what I'm saying? That's where the mid rapture people say, well, we're at least going to be there till then. We won't be taken out before then, because at that point, we'll at least see that and go, whoop, we'll see a sign. Others say, Jesus himself says, no one will know. No one will know in this time. He's telling them here's a sign, wars and rumors of wars and all these different things. But No one's really going to know. Go ahead.
No one's going to know the exact moment.
Right.
Not the signs. Just the exact moment, like the right. flip second. Nobody knows that, even Jesus. But he's given us the signs, so that's obvious that this is talking about some. Some are going to recognize. It's written too. Some will know. Some are going to know. The elect. It's for the elect's sake.
So won't they know because they're with him?
He hasn't come yet.
Yeah.
At so this the point, the second coming.
Rebuilt.
The temple has to be rebuilt. There's a debate about that. Yeah.
But this is still the Old Testament. This is not. Christ is giving examples literally for the spiritual, just like in Daniel. The Old Testament is literal. The New Testament is spiritual. Paul said that. He said this is an example spiritually. So I think that's what the Jews believe, but that's not a Christian belief. Okay, that's my.
Let's continue on. All
right, yes.
So, verse 16. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on a housetop not go down and get the things out that are in his house, and let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child and those who nurse babies in those days. But pray that your flight may not be on in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. Which means, what did he just say?
Don't be harvested out of season. Don't be deceived. Still talking about deception. Don't be let your flight not be in the winter. Okay, when is the harvest? It's in the spring. It's in the summer, right? So he's telling you, don't be harvested out. Be careful. Don't follow this. Don't follow this deception. Don't follow this guy that's coming. He's coming to tell you he's harvesting you now.
And I may be thinking that this is saying that the tribulation is going to be cut short or held short. Anyway, and unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, and there he is, do not believe him, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go forth, or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. Why does he say, if he says, I mean, he's going to tell you here in the next verse, so I have to look up for 2 seconds, but he says, don't look for me. When they say, hey, he's over here in the field, he's over there. Why?
Because you're chasing the wrong one.
Right, because everybody's going to know. When Jesus comes back, listen to it. Verse 27, for just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures or the eagles will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, so after the tribulation, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one sky, from one end of the sky to the other. So, the one problem I really do have is when they say there's going to be this secret rapture, that one's going to be taken and one's not going to be taken. It's going to be secret. It's going to be kind.
Yeah.
Jesus is not saying it's going to be a secret thing. He says, when I come, there's going to be no question as to the fact that I have come. So when they say he's over here and Christ is back, if you don't see lightning in the sky and thunder and the sun no longer shine and the stars fall from the sky, then it ain't Christ. Because you're going to know it. It's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event, and you won't have any doubt in your mind. Now, if you're a believer, that's going to be a good thing. If you're not a believer, that might not be the best time to realize that Christ was real.
And there's a monkey wrench thrown into the rapture. For me, that's another monkey wrench that's thrown into the belief. That it's going to be a silent sneaking out of people when it's obvious Christ is coming back with a shout, as it says in 1 Thessalonians, with a war cry. And we've got to figure out here, now this tribulation is the tribulation of the so-called instead, I like to call it the instead of Christ. after that tribulation of Antichrist, then Christ returns. It's not before. It's after all this happens on earth.
Right.
Okay. Gotta get
right.
So this tribulation here is the tribulation of the so-called Antichrist.
Right.
Christ comes
after that.
He don't come before that and then say, I'm going to take my people out, and I'm going to come back again.
I don't think so either. And let me, and this is, once again, this is my total opinion, only from what I've been studying since we first started studying this. When there was Noah, did God take him out of the flood?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do?
He
saw him through the flood. Okay, now all these people are in plagues in Egypt. Did he take the Israelites out of that situation?
No.
No, he helped them go through that situation. Meshach,
yeah.
Abednego,
yeah.
Whatever. Did he take them out of that situation?
No.
He helped them go through that situation.
Right.
I don't think he's going to take us out of this world. Tribulation is a testing. Tribulation is a hardening. It's a winnowing. It's a time to see what you actually have and don't have. I believe that God will help you through that.
Right.
But I don't think God's going to take you out of that.
Right.
But I do think there is a time when Christ comes, and he tells us, and I don't know that I've got my hands on it right now, but he tells us that we will meet him in the sky. He's going to come, and all's going to be all right. That's if you're still here after 7 years of tribulation. You know what I'm saying? I'm not so sure that's a great idea. I mean, you know, you may want to stand firm on that first day or whatever and go ahead and take a bye and you're out. Jesus and God are telling you this, who knows why, but they are telling you this.
When was this written?
95.
John was there.
John 95 A.D.
John was at the island when he received a vision from God.
95.
Mm-hmm. About.
He was a prisoner on
the island. 2016 plus 95.
Yep.
3,000, almost 4,000 years ago.
I have a suggestion.
Did you turn in the book?
No, I'm out of here.
Oh, I thought she had. Let me get to the book.
Go ahead. We should end every, while we're studying Revelation, we should end the lesson with a soothing, calming Bible verse.
Hold on, guys.
The shepherd will know his sheep, and the sheep will know their shepherd. I think that would be
a verse
to think about.
That sounds good. Guys, I'll just let you know, I'm going to say this again. If you listen to this podcast 5 years from now, my mind may be completely changed. It's just how this is, because I don't have the answers. And all I'm trying to do is facilitate you to look for what answers God is leading you to. And if you're in His Word every week, studying, trying to get closer to Him, the whole idea behind Him leaving us this book is so that we will become closer to Christ. We will understand what He requires of us and what He wants us to do. And you will hopefully develop a deeper love and trust in God and understand His way. Is Revelation hard? Yeah. But we'll get through it. We may not understand it all, but we're going to go through little bit by little bit. So
the hardest part for me to believe in the whole thing we said today was that God needed any of our help to come back down and fight Satan.
Right.
I'm like, really? I don't believe.
Well, I think what there is a place where He creates a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
Well, you got the millennium where there's a thousand, theoretically there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, on this earth. And then after that, there's going to be the judgment, the millennium, then the great white throne judgment, then a new heaven, a new earth, and a lake of fire. That's when the devil will go to the lake of fire, and you will either be with Christ or you won't be with Christ. in this new eternity. It's all hard.
I mean, I don't know that he will need us, but maybe he wants us to be a part of it. I mean, the whole deal is about
relationship. I think it's our choice in the relationship between whether what we're going to do is the right thing or the wrong thing. I think it's that choice thing.
What's I mean, God Almighty, the other than the Alpha and the Omega, can do whatever the heck.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But chooses to have a relationship.
Yeah,
and that is our choice.
And I think that's more, in my opinion, it's more that.
I'm with that.
Yeah, you can go bluey right now or yesterday or tomorrow, but chooses to walk us through.
And I think that we'll have that choice, whoever's alive in that period will have that choice of, you know, that relationship with God or turning our backs.
Amen.
Hopefully next week we will look at chapter 6. Not as easy as you might think. Obviously, I got my toes stubbed this week trying to figure it out. So look next week and realize what is coming with the seals. And I also want you to try to figure out whether it's the seals, then the bowls, then the trumpets, or do they all come together in some way. Y'all figure that out for me. Let me know next week.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Woo!